Ephesians 5, beginning verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk diligently, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Could have written that today, yes? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This particular verse focuses us on being filled with the Spirit. That's kind of the centerpiece here. But I want to say something about the Greek language. They have what's called an aorist tense in their language, and it's a past tense of Greek verbs denoting an action without indicating whether completed, continued, or repeated. So it's continually present. So to better understand this statement, be filled with the Spirit, we could say be being filled with the Spirit, okay? Or be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't read well, so we'll just say be filled with the Spirit. But it's a continual filling. So I want to say it this way. By recognizing this statement as truth, we acknowledge our need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, yes? We need to understand some basic truth so that being filled with the Spirit is an attainable goal. So I could just say you need to be filled with the Spirit and leave you there and kind of just give you a burden if I don't explain what that looks like. Does that make sense? It'd be like if I told you to change the oil in your car, unless you have a Tesla, but you know. But if I told you to change oil in your car, didn't tell you what tools you needed, where the oil was, or why it's important, all I've done, again, is burden you with knowledge that you can't do anything about. You just know that your oil needs changing. Is that fair? So the Holy Spirit is the oil in your Christian life. So one of the analogies of him in Scripture. But I've noticed two problems with my heart. You may relate to this, I don't know. Probably better than me. Number one, it leaks. It really leaks in traffic. It's like a sieve when I watch the news. So, if I'm not in the stream of His holy presence, I run out of oil. And that oil is what lubricates or allows the gifts and fruit of the Spirit to move in my life. If I don't have the oil and suffer lack of oil, it leads me to burnout. And I think a lot of Christians burn out because of a lack of oil. All right? So I don't know why I burned out. Got any oil in your lamp? The wick's going to burn out if you don't, you know. Number two problem with my heart, if I'm not actively giving away that which God has given me, the oil becomes stale. So Jesus said when he was speaking at the feast, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So there's a continual flow, so we need to be receiving and giving that flow of God. That can look like love, that can look like a testimony, that can look like scripture, that can look like helping someone who needs a hand. It can look like a lot of things, but it's going to look like something. It's going to cause activity. So the love of God is poured out in our hearts, and that needs to be given away, yes? Jesus demonstrated this by laying down his whole life. So don't panic. I'm not calling you to go die on a cross somewhere. I'm just saying lay down your selfish desires, your selfish wants and needs, and share God's word with another person or persons. While you're giving what God has given you, trust that He'll give you more of what you need. So Luke 6:38, given it shall be given unto you. Most of you know that passage. A lot of preachers use that to talk about money. That has nothing to do with money. There are scriptures that talk about money, but that one doesn't. It talks about love and mercy. So when we give away love and mercy, when we sow that out, it comes back to us. Whatever you sow, you reap, yes? How many are praying for crop failure? Come on, be honest. Sowing some stuff you didn't wish you sowed, and you say, Lord, I want that. I don't want that seed to produce. Have you ever noticed if you ignore your yard, it doesn't sprout up a bunch of flowers in a beautiful garden? It's it's weeds. I think that's a whole message itself. I want to talk to you about three simple points that I think have to do with how to change your oil. So let's keep the analogy going. First, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. So holiness isn't an option, is it? If I can't see the Lord without holiness, I need it. But I need to know what it is. So let me read to you first, Hebrews 12, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Now, I've reached the age where this scripture completely makes sense to me. You see an uneven surface here, and you see an even surface there, you go for the even one. But it's a spiritual application, of course. Pursue peace with all people. Wow. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So we need to walk in forgiveness. We need to walk in the love of God. We need to walk in his holiness. But focusing on holiness for a moment, no matter what I think, no matter what you think, without holiness, no one will see the Lord, okay? So we don't need another opinion about what holiness is. We need a scriptural definition in order to fulfill a scriptural imperative. This needs to be understood. I'm applying it to myself. You can apply it to yourself. I am not made holy by what I do or do not do. That's legalism, okay? I'm made holy by what Christ Jesus did on the cross. I require faith to receive his gift of salvation, which is more than a simple prayer. It's a whole new life. So we've kind of reduced it to the sinner's prayer, but understand, we're exchanging our life for his. It's not just I need a subtle change in my way. You need a new life. So if we are wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit, holiness is required. The Holy Spirit will not come on unholiness, okay? So here's the second point. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, 26 through 29. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which he works in me mightily. I want to say this very, hopefully, very clearly and simply. The Holy Spirit comes upon and fills Christ in us to accomplish the will of God. All right? No Old Testament saint was given the Holy Spirit like we are, because they couldn't receive Christ. He hadn't come yet. So the Holy Spirit would come on a prophet. They would prophesy. They'd come on a prophet. They would do a miracle. But the Holy Spirit didn't remain because Christ was not in them. This is so important. Sometimes I try to find a nice way to say things and it eludes me, so I'm going to not say it in a nice way. There are so many preachers that want you to be drawn to them and not to Christ. And it's so important that we not mix that up. It's not about us, it's about him. Okay? So to the degree that our lives are surrendered to Christ in us is the degree that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how the proportioning works. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. So we can't reverse that and try to decrease ourselves through self-deprecation. We yield to him and to his will. And as we do, there's an opportunity for that inflow of the Holy Spirit to come. I can ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit till I'm blue, but if I'm not yielded to Christ, there's nothing for him to occupy. We say there's a God-shaped vacuum in every man's heart, and then the Holy Spirit fills that. You know, like, doesn't happen until Christ enters in. It's really we got to stay with Jesus. Amen? So as his holiness, as his holy influence grows in your heart, your life will change in wonderful and powerful ways, which is the restoration of his image in us. So here's the imparted holiness in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 30 and 31. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So we understand that it's really just about Jesus. It's what he's done. Sanctification and holiness are translated from the same Greek word. So it's an interesting word. It's translated five times holiness and five times sanctification. But in the original text, it's the same word. So if you say sanctification or you say holiness, you're kind of saying the same thing, whether you know it or not. So our lives are set apart for him. I want to share a story I've shared before, but some of you weren't here when I shared it. So those of you that heard it, just bear with me. Those of you that haven't heard it, forgive me, because you'll need to by the end of the story. So when I got saved, I was just completely lit on fire. The problem was I hated church, and I didn't much care for Christians. He really played a trick on me. Now I have to go every Sunday. So after about almost maybe 6 weeks or a couple months, some time went by. I've been reading the Bible and praying. I mean, just all the time. I was the Christian they warned you about, the Jesus Revolution kind of Christian. But I started getting bored, and so I thought, I'll just go hang out with my friends at The Graduate. So if you've lived in this area for very long, is it still open? Oh, thank God. So I went to a place, kind of a meat factory called The Graduate. I hung out with my buddies, and I thought, I'm not going to drink anymore because alcohol never led me to anything good. And so I was sitting there, and this girl asked me to dance. And I don't really understand that to this day, but she did. And so I was out on the dance floor under the spangly disco ball, so that lets you know the era. And there's all these people, and I felt really out of place, and I didn't want to be there. But all of a sudden, this slime came over me. It just literally felt like somebody cracked a giant egg over my head, and this slime came over my brain. And I was like, oh, no. All that stuff that left when I asked Jesus in my heart is coming back. What do I do? So I should have, but I was like, sometimes God knows that, you know, we need help. So I just stopped dancing. I lifted up my hands and I said, Lord, please forgive me. I feel that crud from the world coming back on me. What do I do? He said, I heard his voice over the sound. That music was so loud. It was deafening. And I heard his voice say, you have two good feet. Walk out of here. And he said it in dad tone. Do you know what I mean by dad tone? It wasn't like, son, you have two good feet. It was more like, you have two good feet. Walk out of here. So I walked and I never looked back. So the holiness that was given to me was working in me, but I had to work through some issues. I know you guys, you gave your lives to Jesus, no problems, right? All right. I'm in good company. Or am I? But he's still working stuff out in my life. It's not the big stuff like going to bars and dancing. Sarah made me stop last week. You got to go to church. So I just want to say it this way, kind of in a simplistic way. I've made advances in practical holiness, lived out holiness, and I've had setbacks. But I keep moving forward. And that's my prayer for you. I've always thought that I wanted this church to be a safe place to walk in when something really horrific has happened. It will love on you and forgive you, strengthen those weakened knees, and get you back on the path. Because I've been in settings where if you said or thought or did the wrong thing, it was like your life was over. I've never really understood all this mercy for people under the bridge, but not the person in the pew next to you. Or chair, sorry. Got to update my terminology. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 8. Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. There's that C word, commandments. It's Paul writing. People act like there's no commandments today. There are. There's still 10. Jesus distilled it to 2. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, because if you do that, you won't violate the 10. So I like simple. I can remember 2 easier. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Have you ever thought this, Lord, what's your will for my life? Start here, because it's in writing, you know. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Which is a verb, it means it's a process. It's not an, you know, I'm sanctified. Good for you. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. And that word in the Greek is porneia, so I'll let you figure out what other word comes from there. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So it's important. We have to keep all these scriptures together. We can't just lift out the proof text of what we already think to go, oh, yeah, this really supports what I think. We need to look at the whole counsel of God's word. So these passages are meant to remind us what Jesus has given us. He's given us holiness, and he expects us to walk it out in practical ways, okay? Not in legalistic, stinky, religious ways. I don't like sweaty religion. Put on your heavy wool coat and work hard and sweat and prove that you love God. I don't like that stuff. I tried it, just in case you're wondering. All right? He became our example as to how to live a life pleasing to the Father. Now we, through being born again, can receive the Holy Spirit just like he did. So when Jesus prayed, Lord, give them the glory that you gave me. Father, give them the glory that you gave me. That glory is the Holy Spirit. It's his presence and power in our lives. If you weren't here last week, just click onto the website and listen to Dennis's message, because it's really part one. This is part two. So if the Holy Spirit comes upon Christ in us, he's not animating our carnal desires. He's animating the person and presence of Jesus in us so that we can do what he did. Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater. Not greater individually, but greater corporately, because there's a lot of us. Amen? All right, so finally, the Holy Spirit is the down payment. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 and 22, and 5, verses 1 through 8. So I'm just going to mush these together here. Now, he who established us with you in Christ has anointed us as God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. We For we know that our earthly house, this tent, if it is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Do you guys feel that? When you look at what's going on in the world, it's like, Lord, just return. Take us away. Yeah, this is getting crazy. I'm going to stop myself and not talk about crazy for him. I'm just going to keep reading, okay? If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So the word guarantee there is a financial term. And in some of the, like the old King James, it's translated earnest money, or the way we would say it is it's a down payment. So the Holy Spirit comes into us as a down payment for eternity future. Isn't it great to be born again and filled with the Spirit? Yeah? That's just the down payment. Imagine what's coming. It's going to be, whoa, it's going to be awesome. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the deed to be canceled. One of the reasons I love praying in tongues by the Holy Spirit is while I'm praying the perfect will of God, because the Spirit is praying through me, I'm reminded that this evidence of the down payment is the guarantee of eternal future with the Lord. So every time you pray in the Spirit, you are reminding yourself and you're reminding the enemy his days are numbered. Because when the Holy Spirit was outpoured on Pentecost and the gift of tongues was given, that was the signal that the world had entered into the last days. That was 2,000 years ago, so I'm thinking we're in the last minutes now. But the thing that's cool is this life isn't the end of the story. It's kind of the messy part before the end of the story. I just want to close with just some reminders. Be being filled. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes upon the Holy One in us. This holiness is real. It'll transform our thoughts, our words, and deeds. I'm still working on those. We need to give away what God has given us in order to be continually filled. So if he's given you a gift, give it away. If he's given you a desire to reach out, give it away, and he'll give you more. And you'll find that sphere of influence increasing. That's what we need to do to be continually filled. So when we fail and fall, I didn't say if. I think a better bumper sticker would be sin happens. I'll let that roll out a little bit. We get back up and return to the Lord for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The redemption story is a mystery. Right? It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. So it's not about us, it's about him. We're not the subject of the story, Jesus is. We are, however, the objects of his love, and as such, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? I want us to be a church that naturally expects the supernatural. I don't want to pursue the supernatural because that just makes you weird. But I want to expect God to intervene. Amen.